chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, welcome to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. When you ever drive along in North Carolina, one of the roads, either the interstates or some of the back roads, and you start thinking, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I could stop and visit this farm that I'm passing by? Or wouldn't it be nice if I could stop and visit a farm store, talk to some local people about some of the things that are going on? Well, I do it all the time. And that's one of the reasons that I'm really excited about a brand new book. It's called, all right, this is the longest title ever in the world. Well, it competes for the longest title ever in the world. It's called Farm Fresh North Carolina. And then the subtitle is The Go-To Guide to Great Farmers Markets, Farm Stands, Farms, Apple Orchards, U-Picks, Kids Activities, Lodging, Dining, Choose and Cut Christmas Trees, Vineyards and Wineries, and more. And the author is Diane Daniels, who lives over in Durham and is a professional writer with long-standing credentials. But you're not – are you sort of a farmer?
I'm not a farmer. I'm a writer, not a farmer.
But thanks for coming. Thanks for doing this book. Tell us about it.
Thanks for having me. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the subtitle because it's true. It is a long subtitle. But the good thing about it is when people ask me what the book is about, I just send them the subtitle.
Yeah, I know. This is great. Well, it's funny because we got a little promotion that we do in advance. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to. And in the promotion, you want to mention the author's name, and you'd want to mention the title, and you want to tell everybody what it's about. But you got to do all of this within about 60 words.
And I took all the words.
You took all the words in the title, and then I said, well, don't worry about it. She's told everything that
right.
The book
you
is
don't
about.
Have to explain yeah. anything. So it makes me laugh, too, at the end where it says, and more. I'm like, okay.
There's more to it. Well, just as we were opening up, I realize that I don't think you've got the longest title, because the longest title, which I cannot quote now, is Will Blythe's book about hate like this is to be happy forever, mm-hmm. or something like this. And then there's a long subtitle that explains it's about the Duke Carolina basketball.
Okay. Yeah, I think long subtitles are in for some reason, I've noticed. But, and sometimes people – so when I just shorthand, I call my book a farm travel guidebook, which doesn't really mean a lot to people either, because it really – this is the first book of its kind in the country, a statewide guide anyway. And so when I first started thinking about doing it, I knew that I wanted to focus on farms that people can visit. Because there's a lot of farms across the state. Some of them are well known and sort of more touristy, but there's a lot of farms that either have visiting hours or you can visit by appointment that people don't necessarily know that they could go there. And so then that's really the core of the book, or the farms you can visit. But then I realized there's other things too. So, you know, there's farm stands, there's U-Picks. I wanted to focus on restaurants where you can have the farm products, you know, like farm to table dining. I wanted to look at Choose and Cut Christmas Tree Farms. So there's wineries. There's just all these different points of entry into the farm world that I wanted to look at so that people could experience farms.
So is this a book to put in your glove compartment and as you travel, or is it a book that you keep by your bedside to
I think
plan
both.
Travel?
I think you should have
one
copy.
Copies.
Exactly. Because you can plan things out at your bedside, and then you can have it in your car. But I did try to – so there's 430 entries in the book. And so for most of them, especially the farms, even though I had, like, say, 100 to 200 words per entry, I tried to, for the farms especially, have a little bit of personal information about the farmers, because to me that's what's interesting to read, for one thing, as a reader. But also, I think when you visit a farm, you often have a memory of the people as much as you do the place, I think. And I think traveling in general, you know, a lot of times people will come back from, say, another country like Indonesia, and they'll say, oh, the people were so nice, or the people were so interesting. And they talk about the people as much as they do the sites. And so I thought that was an important part to put in the book.
Well, I love that part of it. And I love the way you described what you were doing. And you said, I'm putting words in your mouth, but this is the way I remember what you said.
Okay.
If I visited a place and the people were nice, I wanted to put them in there. If I visited a place and the people weren't nice, they probably didn't make it into the book.
Right, Right.
And so, the restaurant or the farm or the museum, if I go in and it's and I'm not welcome,
right?
I'm glad. I'm glad you did that.
Mm-hmm. It's not because.
But you might have just caught him on a bad day.
Well, you know, and I tried to give people the benefit of the doubt. Of course, I find that. I mean, this is not a directory of farms. It's really it's a travel guidebook, and so to me, I've done a lot of travel writing over the years, so-called travel writing. And if you travel as a travel writer, you're treated differently.
Right.
So I never, in any of my journalism, I don't travel as a travel writer.
You don't have
a little
press button on
correct, and I don't identify myself usually. I just want to be a regular person to get the experience of a regular person because that's what my readers are going to get. And so I did the same thing with this book.
And let's talk a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've taken a look at your book, so I kind of exactly what you're talking about. But to illustrate, let's talk about some of the – this is a statewide book from the mountains all the way to the coast
yes.
of interesting places. But let's talk about some of the places close to Chapel Hill
mm-hmm.
that you included sort of to illustrate the kinds of places that you've done all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some really great places that, you know, that jump in, you know, Maple View – jumps up,
right.
But and you had a place that I invested like pickle something. What is it? Fickle.
Fickle
yeah,
Creek.
That you just loved.
Yeah,
tell us about that.
My poster, Children of Farming. And one thing I do want to mention is that all the farms in the book are farms that either have visiting by appointment or regular visiting time. So there's a lot of great farms that are even kind of famous farms in the state or in the Triangle. That are not in the book because that's not what they do. They don't interact with the public. That's not their mission. And there's nothing wrong with that. And they're not in the book because it's a travel guidebook.
Right. It's places where visitors often go.
Right.
And while the better farms may have just decided we're going to focus on farming, not on having interaction with
right,
with
but
people.
I wouldn't call them the better farms. They're just different. For instance, there's a farm, Peregrine Farm, in, I believe, Chatham County, very well known. Alex and Betsy Hitt are the farmers, and they are big leaders in the sustainable farming movement. And my book does focus on organic or sustainable farms versus conventional farms. But I do include a little of everything. And so I asked them if they wanted to be in the book. I said, you know, it is a travel guidebook, and so you'd be sort of opening up to the public. And they said, thanks, but no thanks. And so I think that's important. So because a lot of people have asked me, why aren't they in the book? You know, they're really important. So that's
right.
why.
So there would be others. And there would be others that you might have missed. But these are ones that that you're certifying
right.
to us that if we do the right thing and make
right.
the appointment or go during regular hours, we'll be welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So back to Chapel Hill. Tell us
okay.
a few
And I don't think I've missed any, DG. I really don't. I haven't heard from anyone. Some that I would have put in the book that have been open
good
recently.
Good golly.
How
many entries in this book?
There are 430.
Hundreds. Huh?
430.
All right. There are at least 431. I don't know what you missed, but there will be somebody
let's
who
put it this way. No one has come to me and said, why didn't you put me in the book without me saying, I checked you out and here's why? Yeah.
Is that all right?
It's true.
Well, that's pretty good.
I dare anyone to tell me that
I just promise you, and I'll bet you a nickel right now.
I'd like to hear from them because I'll put them in the next edition.
That somebody out there that in 100 counties in North Carolina. There's one place
that
I would like to go that you didn't, and I'll find it for you maybe.
I welcome their call or email.
Yeah. But the main thing is, I guess what I'm seeing is that there are 430 great places to visit.
There are.
And that's,
So Fickle Creek Farm. Now, a lot of people do know about Fickle Creek Farm, and that's what's so great is that in some ways I think, everyone knows Fickle Creek because they're in a lot of markets, restaurants, but it's great that you don't. It's great that I'm introducing people to places that's my goal with the book is to say, here's some really great places you may not have heard of visit. So Fickle Creek is in Orange County, and it is run by farmers Noah Rennells and Ben Bergman, and they have a highly diversified farm. They have about 60 acres where you visit, and then they have about, I think, 70 acres off-site. They often have cows, sheep, and they always have chickens and pigs, and they're really known for their poultry and their eggs. They have about 1,200 laying hens, and then they go through about 800 meat chickens per year. Chickens are completely free range, and they are guarded by Great Pyrenees Guardian livestock dogs. It's a beautiful farm. They use no chemicals, and they do tours, and they sell at several farmers markets in the Triangle and also to some restaurants. And they're just, they're wonderful people. Oh, and produce. I forgot the produce. And they use the animals to, for a lot of different things. I mean, also for food, but then they use the animal, like the chickens fertilize the soil and, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, you told a great story. I think this is right about your visit that you saw an egg being laid.
Yeah, I did.
Tell us about that. I mean, you can't guarantee that the rest of us would have that experience.
It's something that sometimes I ask people and they say, oh, yeah, I've seen that. And I'm like, okay. But, you know, most people I talk to have never seen it. And I just happen to be gathering eggs there. Oh, and they also have overnight stays. They have a B&B.
Oh, well.
So I stayed there one night, and then I was helping Noah gather eggs in the morning. And then right when I was, I was just right there at the coop, and this one egg just plopped right out of the back of the
hen. Yeah, but see, you say that you don't tell people that you're a travel writer or doing a guide, but they—
That was unusual.
They knew. And
because
that,
I already knew that they were great people.
Right,
so
and that hen knew.
Yeah.
That hen knew that you were a travel writer. So they wouldn't do it for me, but they unless I told them that it was a lie that I was a travel writer.
I bet Noah told them, okay, hen, do it. Do it for Diane.
Oh, my golly. We need to take a break. We're visiting with Diane Daniel about her new book. It's Farm Fresh North Carolina, with a long subtitle about all the things that she's told us that we can do. And we're going to come back and talk some more about the places in Orange County that you may not have heard about that you could read about in her book, or she's going to tell us about it. We'll be right back.
Chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now back to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My guest is Diane Daniel. She's the author of a new book. It's called Farm Fresh North Carolina. And it's got the longest subtitle of the season anyway. It's the go-to guide to great farmers markets, farm stands, farms, apple orchards, U-picks, kids activities, lodging, dining, choose and cut Christmas trees, vineyards, wineries, and more. And focusing on Orange County and nearby Chatham and Durham County for places like this, you've told us about one of the farms that some of us may not have heard about that it welcomes visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pickle
great
Creek.
Things.
Yes.
Pickle Creek. What about dining?
Dining. Oh, a lot of and one thing about Orange County I should mention is that when I was compiling the book, I was surprised that, well, I figured that Buncombe County, where Asheville is, would come in number one because they have so many farms and so many restaurants, farm-to-fork restaurants. And in fact, they have about 40 listings. But Orange County has 29 listings.
Well,
so I was surprised. They came in number two in the book. You know, these are just my arbitrary listings. But the fact is, there is just a lot of agriculture
the
there.
The headline there is that there are 29 places in Orange County that have to do with good local food
that people can go
that
to.
That people can go to,
yeah,
and enjoy. And you're going to tell us not about 20. We don't have time for 29 of them.
Oh, darn. So, yeah. And so I found that to be impressive. And so you mentioned restaurants. You know, there's a big movement. There has been for a few years with farm-to-fork restaurants, restaurants that use a lot of local products. And there's a wide range of how much of that is used. One of them is that I really like to bring attention to is Panciuto in Hillsboro.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the town of Hillsboro in Orange County. And Aaron Vandermark is the chef, and he also donated a recipe for the book. The book also has 20 recipes. And he really, I mean, almost everything he has is locally sourced. And it's a fairly small restaurant, so he's able to do it in a way that that maybe some larger ones aren't. But really anyone can do it. Just depends on their commitment. And, of course, it costs a little more, so the diners pay a little more. But I think that's a wonderful, it's Italian, sort of Italian, new American.
Well, what's kind of the borderline for it? Because nobody can do all local. You got to buy your salt.
Well, you
from
can.
Someplace.
It's right. Well, okay, right.
And,
that's
I mean,
true.
And
that's
I mean, true. I mean, you can come close. But is there anybody who really does come close or anybody who comes very close and says, just essentially, we're not going to put anything in a featured menu?
Yeah, I would say definitely Panciuto comes very close.
So even in the middle of the winter, you go there and you can get stuff that's...
Yeah, meat, greens. Yeah, absolutely. Potato, you know, root vegetables, starch. Lantern in Chapel Hill also does tons of local, really focuses on local. So, you know, it's not... I mean, they decide what they can do. And Lantern is much higher volume, so for them it's... But for instance, Lantern buys a lot of chickens from Fickle Creek.
Yeah, no, I've heard her talk about the value of paying more to get eggs and chickens.
Yes. Yes. And, I mean, I think a really cool experience would be, for instance, to... You know, with children or without, would be to go to one of the farms, like, for instance, Fickle Creek. It doesn't have to be that one. Go to a farm that sources a local restaurant, do a tour on the farm, and then go to the restaurant. You know, that's just
a
really neat experience.
Yeah, what a great idea. Which is something for your next edition of the book, maybe a couple of pairs, a pairing.
Yeah, pairings of farms and restaurants.
Farms to market. Here's the restaurant where you can go to eat the stuff.
There's a restaurant, for instance, in Durham, Piedmont, that is partly owned by farmers, by Coon Rock Farm, which is in Orange County. It's Piedmont.
Piedmont.
It's called Piedmont.
And so they're growing it on their own farm.
Yes, and they also have a restaurant in Raleigh, Zelly and Ritz. So there's another example. There's also one of those in Charlotte. Grateful Growers Farm has a restaurant, Harvest Moon Grill, and the farmers own the restaurant, and they also have a food truck. So, and, you know, almost everything is local from their farm and other farms. So this is yet another trend.
Wow. Well, let's get back to farms.
Mm-hmm.
The core of your book, Farm Fresh in North Carolina, the core of it is farms.
Yes.
And so let's talk about you've talked about Fickle Creek and any other farms worth visiting in.
Well,
she told me not to ask her what is your favorite. So this is my substitute.
They're all
any others worth visiting?
Well, for instance, Coon Rock Farm, which I mentioned, supplies and partly owns or fully owns Piedmont. They have an on-farm market every Saturday, and they also you can arrange tours. And they have have animals. They are in they're in Orange County. I think their address is Hillsborough. You know, these rural addresses never really make sense because it's the postal address and. So that's a neat farm.
So call ahead to get directions.
They have They have a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, where you subscribe to the farm and then get shares. And they do a year-round CSA, which is unusual.
What would a visit to that farm be like?
You would see animals. You would see vegetables. You would see sustainably grown. I think they have bees. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But, you know, they're very diversified. And a beautiful setting as well. That's always part of it, too, is just to see the nice countryside.
Do they charge anything for this tour?
I'm not sure if Coon Rock does. Fickle Creek does charge a nominal fee, like, let's say, $8.
A car or $8 a person?
I don't remember.
Like that.
But it's on their website.
Be careful. Yeah. Yeah, watch out about that.
Yeah, but it's well worth the money.
You mentioned that if they don't charge, that the customers.
But they should.
You should buy something.
Yeah,
and so,
just out of courtesy.
Sort of like going to an author's reading.
Buy the book.
And by the way, you're going to be appearing all over the place. We can't list all of them, but keep your eyes out.
Yes, thank you.
Hear more about or ask your specific questions to Diane Daniel. All right.
So there's a farm called Whitted Bowers Farm. That's also in Orange County. Cedar Grove is the address. And they are, as far as I know, the state's only certified biodynamic farm.
What in the world does that mean?
Well, a lot of times people call biodynamic beyond organic. So it's they don't use – not only do they not use pesticides, chemicals, they also grow – biodynamic is following a certain way of farming where you're following the moon, the stars, the sun, the seasons. It's all very natural and I forget the name of the leader, Rudolf Steiner.
Is it spiritual?
It is, it's natural. I would call it more than spiritual. And the soil is of utmost importance.
What would a visit there be like?
Whitted Bowers, there's a beautiful setting. So it's very rural. They have fruit trees. They have a lot of fruit trees, which is that's unusual for this area. And they have Yupik strawberries, which will probably be going on when this is being aired, I hope. And a beautiful farmhouse. So it's just this pastoral setting. And I think that and you can ask for tours. And a lot of people who are interested in biodynamics go there and
tell us
hear
the name
about
of that farm again.
Whitted Bowers, W-H-I-T-T-E-D,
and what
Bowers.
Are the folks like who have reached out, as you say, beyond organic?
The farmers?
Yeah.
Well, they're lovely people, Rob and Sherry. And they, you know, they're just, she is from here. And then I think they lived in California for a while or somewhere on the West Coast. They came back to where her family is and decided to farm. And they're just, you know, they're hardworking and just have really, they keep adding fruit. To their fruit orchard. It's just a lovely place. So.
Well, it's so funny that you tell me about the fruit trees because one of the pieces of your book says that you know, in every section of North Carolina, you're going to show us farmers markets, farm stands, and so on, and apple orchards. And then you say, uh-oh, apple orchards only in the West. But here these guys have fruit trees.
Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, I think what I said was that the category in the book is only in the West because there aren't that many otherwise to have a full category.
These are supplemental
and,
orchards.
Right. And there's, I'm not sure that they have apples at Whitted Bowers, but for instance, Century Farm Orchards, which is in, I believe, Caswell County, has heirloom apples. So you do find apples in other regions, but not enough to have their own category in the book.
I got you. Yeah. So but we can go in local farms. We can go, and if we're careful, and buy apples.
Yes, not so much in the triangle, but sort of
right outside the triangle.
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's take a quick break. We're talking about new book Farm Fresh North Carolina with its author Diane Daniels. She and I'll be right back.
Chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now back to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about farms and local farms, but we're doing it in the context of a new book called Farm Fresh North Carolina that deals with farms you can visit all over North Carolina, not just farms, but also, well, I'll just read the subtitle to you. The Go-To Guide to Great Farmers Markets, Farm Stands, Farms, Apple Orchards, U-Picks, Kids Activities, Lodging, Dining, Choose and Cut Christmas Trees, Vineyards and Wineries, and more.
Don't forget the more.
And no wineries around here, are there?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about them.
Well, the first one that comes to my mind is in Alamance County in Saxapahaw, right next to Saxapahaw.
Well, that's close.
That's, yep, Benjamin Wineries.
And so we can go visit that wine.
You can absolutely go visit
30-40-minute drive. Mm-hmm.
One of the really cool things.
Can I get free samples?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, they may charge for tastings. Some wineries do charge for tastings, and I can't remember if they do. But it's a beautiful setting, and they have picnic tables outside. And one of the nice things, they have an event a couple times a year, so they're near the Haw River.
Right.
And so they have this, there's a canoe outfitter at the Haw, canoe kayak, where they actually team with this outfitter, and you can do a paddle. So they have like a few hours you paddle, and then you go to the winery and have some wine tasting. And they even have a few where they have a dinner that's locally sourced.
I love that because whenever I, at my age, get down in the canoe and paddle, I always, you know, even if it's just for a little while, I'm a little bit sore, and so a glass of wine would be welcome. So that and is that all that in the book too? I mean, we get
it is. And Saxapahaw is a really. In fact, I'm getting ready to do. Well, don't tell anyone, but I'm doing an article on Saxapahaw for the Washington Post.
Oh, come on! Oh,
yeah.
No!
If you haven't gone, you have to go soon before everyone starts going. But there are restaurants there. There's an amazing farmers market there. So it's just this really crazy community.
So this is a place a lot of people who've gone to Saxapahaw come back glowing about it, but mostly it's an underutilized asset for Chapel Hill people.
Yeah. I would say that a lot of people said, oh, yeah, I've heard about Saxon Pot and meaning to get there. So they need to go.
So one of the things to do is to visit this winery. And is it on a, is it in downtown Saxapahaw or is it outside?
Right, in quotes. It's about a mile from downtown Saxapahaw. And then in downtown is the farmer's market every Saturday from May through August. And that's from 5 to 8 p.m. So it's a little different. They have music.
So
they
if you miss the Carborough Farmer's Market.
You can do both. You don't even need to admit, you just do both.
But I mean, sometimes I wake up and it's too late and I've missed my tomatoes or something.
Yes,
I
can
drive to
Saxapahaw. Get to Saxapahaw.
Get a glass of wine.
You can eat at the Saxapahaw General Store, which also has a cafe diner.
And now there's a new
restaurant.
Book. That qualifies for your book because they use local farm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Their food is amazing. And now, since I knew they were working on this, it's not in the book because it wasn't completed when I was doing the book, but now there's a pub called the Eddy, E-D-D-Y, for the river, and they also do local, and it's a wonderful kind of a community pub, like a British pub, and they're adding a performing space. So Saxapahaw is up and coming.
Saxapahaw is the new Carborough, or is that the?
I think, and I love saying Saxapahaw. So,
and just to be clear about this news that you gave us, you're leaving Farm Fresh behind for a moment and writing about Saxapahaw for the Washington Post.
Right. Well, I'm never leaving Farm Fresh behind. It always stays with me. So, I try to write articles based on the research I did already because that's how we freelancers make a buck.
Well, tell us, let's back off from the book and just talk about the process of getting into writing the book, because I think part of your profession as a freelance writer led you into this as a travel experienced travel writer. And we won't crown you with all of your achievements as a travel writer, but you did a lot of, I want to call it, it's not fair to say ordinary, but sort of regular travel writing. Farm Fresh is different from regular.
Yeah, I would say that my travel writing has actually been irregular because I find that what I mean, I would say that in general.
I knew when I said regular, you would just run away from that. It's superb.
No,
it's outstanding.
It's not that. It's a little different. I like off the beaten path places. I like places that are up and coming. That you know, in a few years, they're going to take off. Those are the kind of places I like.
Places that nobody else is focused on,
right,
but and deserve attention,
and that have not become.
They're not worn out, and
and you know, you could say gentrified in the travel world.
I apologize for saying ordinary.
No apologies needed.
But writing travel articles for newspapers and magazines, leading to a book about farms.
Yes. I like to look at places that I find are real or genuine. They don't have – I mean, there's nothing wrong with golf and shopping, but that's not what interests me. And there's plenty of writers who want to cover the luxury field, and I don't do that. I don't – it's just not interesting to me. And so I like to go to places that I find, you know, are genuine – And like stores that are independent and restaurants that are independent. And I mean, there's certainly other writers who do this, but that interest, I brought those interests to the book because I would say so much of what's in the book are things that, I mean, that's the way I like to travel. And so that's really why I'm doing it. If I'm going to spend my time doing something, I might as well do it for work as well and get paid for living.
So you're doing what you love to do as a consumer of, I don't want to say travel, of outstanding opportunities for visiting places.
Adventures,
places.
Near and far.
On the other hand, in Farm Fresh, North Carolina, your book about farms and other agricultural related places in North Carolina, you approach it from a traveler standpoint rather than from the Department of Agriculture's reporting. What D.G. Martin would like to see if he went to the farm.
Because there's nothing that I knew like this that existed. And so I felt like this is something that's needed. And a lot of times if you're doing it from the farming perspective, you're not doing it from a consumer perspective.
Let me get you to do this. And this might be hard. And you can just bypass this question if you want to. But there are touristy farms that are – just tourist attractions. And how far did a farm have to go into being more of a show place to get off your list of places to visit? Or if they said they were a farm and they had an open door, did you put them in if they welcome people?
There's only one farm that I can think of that's pretty much for tourists. I think it's called Hill Ridge. I'm looking it up right now. And, yeah, Hill Ridge Farms, and that's in the Triangle. I think it's in Johnston County. And they used to be a working farm. But they're very – and, you know, let's just say it's the only farm I went to that has sidewalks. But when I went there, there's so many kids there learning about things in
it's
a way.
It's good even if it wasn't exactly
good.
What you were
It's not the
for.
Kind of thing that I necessarily would be interested in, but I think it definitely has a place in the book because they do – a lot of educational activities there. And Vollmer Farm, V-O-L-L-M-E-R, they are in Johnston County. And they straddle. They are a working farm. And they have the biggest growing organic strawberry field, certified organic strawberry field in the state. But they also do a lot of fall agritourism activities. But they really do it all, and I thought that was very cool too, because they have a lot to offer the kids, but they also do they have a CSA, you know, they are a farm, they're a working farm, they were a tobacco farm. And so there aren't really that many places that are just for tourism. And I would say, like, for instance, Biltmore, they call themselves the country's most visited winery. Well, okay, maybe, but that's not why people are coming there, let's face it. They're going to the Biltmore Estate, and then they're stopping by the winery. But the fact is, even though not all their wine is locally sourced, they are the biggest purchaser of local grapes of anyone in the state. So, you know, if you look at all the wine they make, a minority of it is from North Carolina, but they nonetheless buy tons of North Carolina grapes. And I think they're really significant because of that. And they also have an educational farm. I mentioned their farm. It didn't get a full category because it is, you know, definitely more of a tourist farm. But they do important things. And their restaurants some of them are locally sourced, too.
A lot of people in Chapel Hill travel east.
Yes. You know,
there's a customary route to the Outer Banks or to
Wrightsville
Beach. Wrightsville. Mm-hmm. And there are diversions that we might take on – are there diversions that we might take for farm visits on the way to
There are
vacations?
Some. You have to be a little – you have to really study the book to find things on the coast because they're not so much on the direct routes. I mean, for instance, going to the Outer Banks, there's Mackey Ferry's Peanuts. And they grow their – they have – you know, they use North Carolina peanuts, and a lot of people stop there to and from the Outer Banks. So they're well known. And they actually keep a little demo peanut patch next to their shop.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you about that because that place is – it's all about selling peanuts.
It is, yeah. But they do source them locally, and I think it's neat that they have the little peanut patch.
I agree.
You know, because a lot of people still say, "What do peanut trees look like?" Well, they're grown in the ground. They're legumes.
What does it? Yeah.
And
what does a peanut
yes.
tree look like?
Yes. And you know, one of the
like
big,
a pecan tree, right? No.
One of the most visited wineries in the state, along with Biltmore, is Duplin, and that's right on the way to, you know, down 40 on
Tell
the way
us about
to
that. I passed that by, and I'm real interested in the Duplin County, but I've never stopped at that winery. Should I stop there?
If you like muscadine, if you like sweet wine, because that's all they have, and they have a lot of it, and their tastings are free. You can just saddle up to the bar, and they have a really big bar, and, you know, it's very lively. It's the kind of place, what I like about Duplin is that people who might be intimidated by going to wineries would not feel that way there, and I think that's great. And they have tours. You can go out in the vineyards.
You can go – or the vineyards and the winery are right there together.
Yeah, they have
see the whole
they
thing.
Have a lot of
anything?
Vineyards there.
No,
it's free. It's all free. And they have – they.
But you said sweet muscadine wine. You said that with a little sneer.
Did I? I don't really like it, but that's just me. You know, a lot of people do. I've tried. I really try to like
But it's
muscadine.
Free, and it's something you could do on the way. But you wouldn't want to drink too much free wine if you were getting ready to drive.
You would not. That's why you have your designated driver. But, you know, I do want to mention there's a lot of muscadine wineries, and a lot of North Carolinians really like it. So the fact that it's not my favorite should not be held against them.
You're talking about places that you can visit. Are there other places other than Duplin that you these muscadine places that you can visit?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of them. One of them, Hennant, is in, I believe it's Johnston County, and they not only do they have muscadine vines, I think they also, well, I'm not sure if they have other kinds of wine, but they have you pick muscadine, and they sell muscadine plants, which I thought was different and interesting. And I went by there on a day when they were doing the you pick, and there were a lot of people there, and that was a weekday. So I thought, who are these people? But there they were. Yeah. So, well, I mean, there's just so many neat places that are pretty much under the radar. And you probably know that we now have more than 100 wineries in North
Carolina.
Well,
I keep hearing, you know, the figure, it goes up and up and up. And
yeah,
I'm a non-believer at every stage.
Well, it's true.
But there are different kinds of wineries, at least as far as your approach, that has to be farm related. And so there are wineries that just kind of buy their grapes somewhere and make wine. And then then there are wineries that are closely associated with the growing efforts of, basically a lot of struggling people who are doing this. They're not getting rich doing it.
Right.
They are doing it either for love or for something, tax shelter
or
something.
Yeah, most of the wineries in North Carolina do grow their own grapes. Because there's so many of them that do, the ones that don't, it's just, you know, not that much of, it's not as interesting to go. So there's a lot of competition with the ones that grow their own grapes.
We've got to take a break. We're almost through talking to Diane Daniel about her book, Farm Fresh North Carolina. She and I'll be right back.
Chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now back to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Diane Daniel. She's the author of Farm Fresh North Carolina. It's got a long subtitle, but it covers basically all farm-related, agricultural-related activities that you can visit, that not as necessarily as a tourist, but as a student, a visitor, somebody who loves to visit with farm people. There are lots of places that she tells us about. But, Diane, we mentioned during the break that as soon as you publish a book like this, it's out of date because somebody's out of business or somebody new or have not conceded that there might be something that you missed. But if there were one that you missed, you'd want to put it.
Put it in my updates on my website. So I have a website, same title as the book, farmfreshnorthcarolina.com. And I keep a blog there. So I kind of, you know, put some newsy things there and some things about the book. And then I put updates. So anything that I've gotten wrong, I update it. And then anything new, I try to put in there. Well, not necessarily new listings, but anything that has gone out of business, I update that. And I also I'm doing a lot of appearances the next few months, so I have a little thing for my author events. I have a slideshow.
Yeah, to find out more and to ask the questions you would ask rather than the ones I would ask, if you're listening, check that and you'll more than likely find a place within the next week or two.
And I do welcome people writing me. I mean, sometimes people email me and say, oh, I have, you know, I live so-and-so and I have friends coming in from out of town. Where are a couple places I can send them or take them? And I tell them.
Yeah. And then
so I'm your little farm travel agent.
And do you post that on your blog if you give an answer?
Write it through the blog, I do, but usually they just email
me
directly.
Email you.
Yeah.
So email or write on the blog and you can find other places. One other thing, I'm sorry to be hurrying so much, but
That's
other thing about your blogs, and you blog in different places, but you write about other things, and you write about your own travel experiences and things that you've heard from others. And as you told us earlier, you're not the ordinary travel writer. You write about places maybe that other people might not have an interest. It's not about golf. It's not about the finest places to eat. It's about the places
authentic,
that you'd like.
As we say.
Authentic
the
places that
yes.
aren't necessarily so. We'll have links to those as well. But have you got another? Is there you got lots of web links, haven't you?
Well, I have.
Where's the best place to go?
I would go if you go to farmfreshnorthcarolina.com. You can find everything about me. So I do have a travel blog, places we go, peoplewesee.com. However, I'm not doing that as much now because Farm Fresh.
You're working on Farm Fresh,
right? It's kind of consuming my life right now, which is fun. I mean, this is the season. This is the farm season, so it's really fun to talk about and to show, you know, to help show people where to go, and they get very excited about visiting these places. So that makes me happy when they get out there and do it.
We started out talking about places nearby in Orange County. And you will not tell us your favorite places.
I will not.
But if somebody came to Chapel Hill, I would tell them the place that's easiest to do and that you should not miss is the Carrboro Farmers Market on Saturday mornings. And so is there another place? Would you argue with me about that? What would you say?
I would argue about anything with anyone. But, no, I totally agree that is one of the leading farmers
markets in the country. Yeah, no excuse
for
not having done that at least once. If you don't like it, you don't have to go back. But no excuse for not doing it. Is there – now, you've told me, like this Fickle Creek, you'd have to say, DG, there's no excuse for you not going there. I haven't been there.
Right.
Another one or two –
I do want to say there are other wonderful farmers markets. Okay, here's what I would do. I would not miss Vista Wood Bison Ranch or Sunset Ridge Buffalo Farm. Bison farms. Sunset Ridge is in Person County.
Wood
is in Orange County.
Well.
And you can get tours. So, you know, who doesn't want to do that, to see buffalo? And Pickard's Mountain Eco Institute, they have a lot of activities for children there in Orange County. Of course, you mentioned Maple View Agricultural Center. They have the ice cream store, and now they have a new agricultural center.
That's so consumer-friendly.
Great for children. Great place. Captain John S. Pope Farm, Lambs.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Historic home.
The great-great-great-grandson of the original captain and the great-great-grandson or something like that. These are cousins.
Garland Truffles, the tour is a little pricey because you're getting truffles, which cost a lot of money, but there's a different experience.
These are all places that I have to confess I was not familiar with, and we're out of time, so you'll have to either buy the book, Farm Fresh North Carolina by Diane Daniel, or go to her blog, farmfreshnorthcarolina.com, or visit her as she makes appearances throughout the region talking about her book. But Diane Daniel, thanks very much for sharing all this with
us today. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks all y'all for listening. I'll be right back here with Who's Talking very soon.